From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wall. The Alaska legislature is in session and working on the budget. Fisheries programs across the state are on the chopping block. This after last year's major cuts to the Commercial Fisheries Division. Kodiak's Representative Louise Stutes hopes the legislature will fix a measure approved previously that requires some fishing boat owners to double register their vessels. The intent was to help local officials identify the owner of derelict vessels, but it's just a hassle and another expense for some boat owners. And here's an interesting idea, an electric fishing boat. It's quiet, clean, and saves lots of money on the cost of fuel. We have a report on a Sitka fisherman who converted the boat himself. All that coming up on this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report, right after this.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
Alaska's commercial fisheries programs are on the chopping block once again. Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch has more.
The Commercial Fisheries Division of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game could be cut by over $1 million with impacts to every state region. In Southeast, the Wrangell Fish and Game office is set to be closed and assessments of Red King crab would be eliminated. That will hurt users beyond commercial fisheries, says Frances Leach, director of United Fishermen of Alaska.
A lot of people don't recognize that those stock assessments help evaluate the personal use fishery. So without that assessment, there will be no personal use fisheries for Red King crab in Southeast Alaska.
Nearly 3,700 Red King crab personal use permits are issued every year. Cuts also are on deck for stock assessments for Southeast urchin and sea cucumber fisheries, which will likely reduce dive time.
Currently, dive fishermen are paying a good percentage of that assessment, and now Fish and Game is cutting their portion and looking elsewhere for the funding.
In the central region, suppression projects for pike that are eating all those tiny salmon in the Susitna and Yentna rivers also are set for elimination. At Kodiak, management of the Fraser Lake Fish Pass for sockeye salmon is set to be reduced, meaning more conservative management. Further west, research on Bering Sea salmon is set to take a $300,000 cut, and funding will instead rely on grants or the federal government. And at a time when mariculture in Alaska is starting to take off and permits are taking up to 2 years for growers, big cuts are proposed for mariculture planning and permitting programs.
That was Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
In other legislative fisheries news, State House Representative Louise Stutes last month proposed a bill that should make boat registration easier on commercial fishermen if it passes. HB 185 would exempt vessels with a current state Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission sticker from being required to register their boat with the Department of Motor Vehicles.
It was a double registration for a lot of people. If you're a commercial fishing vessel and you're registered with the CFEC, this information is already on record.
Stutes' bill is in direct response to Soldotna Senator Pete Michicki's derelict vessels bill from last spring, which required all boats, barges, sports fishing guide boats, and tenders over 24 feet to be registered with the DMV. The intent was to address the growing issue of derelict and abandoned vessels all over the state. But in Michicki's own words, the bill's rollout was, quote, less than stellar. A letter from the United Fishermen of Alaska to the Dunleavy administration last June complained that fishermen were not given enough notice about the change. It cited DMV offices being closed in places and offices running out of the right forms or sticker decals, adding to the confusion.
And there was a lot of confusion with the DMV, too, because in order to register your boat for this sticker, having the title to the boat wasn't a requirement, and DMV was saying, yes, this is a requirement. It was just a real mess in more than one way.
Stute says she's committed to tackling the problem of derelict vessels, but she sees no reason why fishermen with CFEC boat stickers should have to pay another fee to the DMV to get their boats registered with the state a second time.
It is not to create additional revenue for the state. It's to prevent additional expenses by way of these derelict boats that municipalities have to deal with.
Stute says she hasn't had any pushback from fishermen, boat owners, or harbor masters on her bill. HB 185 was one of the many pre-filed bills for this legislative session. And like any bill, it still has a long way to go and may not even become a law. We had help with this story from Kavitha George at KMXT in Kodiak.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, 1-800-992-4960, or online at alaskaboat.com.
And we finish up this week with the story of a hybrid boat built by its owner in Sitka. Along all of Alaska's coastline, there are few sights more familiar than a fishing boat plowing over the waves and out to sea, diesel engine rumbling with a trail of bluish smoke hanging in the air. But this year, keen observers will notice an odd duck on the waters around Sitka, the town's first hybrid electric fishing boat, which works the nets in near silence. KCAW's Ari Snyder has all the details.
On a recent afternoon, Fabian Gruter eases his boat, the Sunbeam, out of its slip in Crescent Harbor. If you listen closely, you'll notice that something is missing. No chugging, roaring diesel engine. In its place, the whirring of the electric motor. It's remarkably quiet, at least until Gruter puts it into gear a little too quickly and slips a belt.
Be careful, not throttle up. There's just so much power instantly.
This is only the third time Gruter has taken the Sunbeam out under electric power, and there's still a lot to get used to. Joining us today is Gruter's 2-year-old son, Vinden. Decked out in a red life jacket, he's already earned his tiny sea legs, having accompanied his dad on many fishing trips. And, like a good first mate, he wants to take a look under the cabin floor at the new engine setup.
Yeah.
You want to look down there too, Vinden? Okay, but Dad's got to go down there too, because that's a long ways down there.
He does!
Yeah, it's exciting, huh?
He does.
Gruter has been fishing his whole life, and he's had the Sunbeam for 20 years. He's also a self-described electric vehicle enthusiast, and 5 years ago he started the project of hybridizing his fishing boat. He thought an electric motor would work particularly well with gill netting, which involves a lot of idling when a diesel engine is least efficient.
And you're basically hanging around the net for 18-hour days, 15-hour days, and you don't really push anything hard, so an electric motor is ideal for that.
Gruter makes it all sound pretty casual, but this is not your average science fair project. First of all, it's cost him over $30,000 in batteries, motors, wiring, and a computer system to make the whole operation spin. And that's not figuring in the countless hours spent bringing his dream to fruition.
I'm just constantly on Google and the internet and asking questions and stuff and then calling these different people and stuff. And I kind of purposely did it, bought stuff from different people so I could get different information from different people, different opinions.
5 years later, he's got Sitka's first hybrid electric fishing vessel, albeit with a few kinks left to work out. He'll be able to charge the 70-kilowatt battery bank off the diesel engine or by plugging into shore power at the dock. Gruter will still use the old engine for hustling to and from the fishing grounds, but once he sets the net, there's enough juice to fish all day under electric power. He estimates that'll translate to a 30-40% reduction in fuel use and engine hours, and a near total reduction in noise while he's fishing.
You know, if you're plugging in, you want a repeatable route where your operational profile is very steady.
This is Matt Von Ruden, Director of Vessel Engineering and Maintenance for the Washington State Ferries. It turns out that Fabian Gruter is not the only one experimenting with hybrid technology. The Washington State Ferry Service is converting its three largest ferries to diesel-electric drive, part of a statewide effort to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. He says ferries are a natural fit to work as plug-in hybrids because they generally travel short, repetitive routes at predictable speeds.
Your distance has to be fairly limited. 10 miles or so is probably about where you want to be at this point.
10 miles wouldn't get you very far along most Alaska Marine Highway routes, but it's more than enough for the quick hop across Puget Sound from Seattle to Bainbridge Island, for example. That means even though the ferries will still have diesel engines, they'll be able to operate some routes on battery power alone, using their time at the dock to recharge. Von Ruden says there are over 100 battery-operated ferries worldwide, and that number is increasing rapidly as more countries embrace the technology.
Primarily, it's been in Scandinavia up to now, and now it's expanding more into Europe and North America, just becoming more and more common for ferry vessels in particular.
In the fishing industry, however, Fabian Gruter's hybrid gill netter is still an outlier. He doesn't plan to use the electric motor for cruising, but today he flexes it anyway just to see how fast it'll go.
That is probably 25 to 30 kilowatts. At that speed, I get about a little over 2 hours. 6 knots right now, 6.2.
Soon, though, it's time to head back to the dock. Gruter doesn't want to push the electric motor too hard just yet. Also, the first mate is getting sleepy. We've cruised right through Vinden's nap time.
Okay, we're currently docked.
The next item on Gruter's agenda is installing a second electric motor to power the boat's hydraulic fishing gear. He plans to have the Sunbeam's hybrid drive ready by the start of the fishing season in March. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ari Snyder.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Ari Snyder at KCAW in Sitka, Kavitha George at KMXT here in Kodiak, and Lainey Welch from Alaska Fish Radio. A big thank you to all of you listeners of the Alaska Fisheries Report and to all the radio stations that air our program. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Maggie Wall.